Every year during the Easter season, our first readings are from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And this is a really valuable book to us because it shows us what happens right after Pentecost, which is what happens in the early church in the earliest days. So it would be good for all of us to pick up that book. I know God's calling me to spend more time with the scripture. I think he's calling all of us to make that a daily habit, to spend time with the scripture. The Acts of the Apostles would be a really good place to start. So the first thing I want to say about that passage is something about the last line, which is kind of a throwaway line, but I always think it's kind of funny. This is when the author is talking about the spread of belief in Christ, and then he makes this passing comment. He says, even a large group of priests were becoming obedient to the faith. I just love that line. Even priests are becoming obedient to the faith. Whoa. The message of the gospel must have been pretty powerful. So, of course, the author is not referring to new covenant priests like me, but rather old covenant priests, the priests who served the temple in Israel, the priests who had to be from the family of Levi, descendants of Levi, to serve in that way. Those priests would have offered sacrifice at the temple, animal sacrifice, over and over again, to reconcile God and the people. So what's cool about this is that when these Jewish priests accept the faith, then most likely that means that they're becoming new covenant priests. So they were old covenant priests, they accept the gospel message, are baptized, and now they become new covenant priests, and they're going to offer a different kind of sacrifice. They're not going to offer a sacrifice of animals at the temple. But now they're going to offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass at the altar, the one sacrifice of Christ. That's the fulfillment of everything that they'd been doing at the temple, Jesus and his sacrifice, the fulfillment of everything that they had done before. So we see the first priest of the new covenant in this passage. But what this passage is really about is how the apostles handle this situation in the church. And the apostles, that's important for us to remember, are the first bishops of the church. They're in charge of it. They're overseeing it. And there's a problem that arises, and this problem has to do with the church's charitable works. They were distributing food and other daily necessities to the poor, and especially the widows. But the widows who were Hellenists, that's Greek-speaking widows, were complaining because the widows who were the Hebrews or the Aramaic-speaking widows were getting all of the stuff. And the Greek-speaking widows, they felt, were not getting what they were supposed to get. They weren't being treated fairly. So a problem arises in the early church. So the point is now how the apostles deal with that problem in the early church, which seems to have less to do with prejudice, but more just in terms of organization, leadership. Somebody needs to be overseeing the service at table to make sure that it's done fairly. So the apostles could have added this to their to-do list. They could have said, okay, well, there's this problem here, so I guess we have to figure out how to supervise this service so that this, what had been happening before, hadn't happened. And that's my temptation. A problem arises in the parish or at the school, and I think I have to do something about it. I have to figure it out. I have to fix it. So that's my temptation. When something isn't being done well, I feel like I need to be the one who gets in there. But that's not necessarily what the Holy Spirit wants. That wasn't the case in this situation. The Holy Spirit didn't want the apostles themselves to take care of the problem. The apostles realized that they shouldn't take on the task of doing for themselves this supervising of the charitable work of the church. And why not? Is it because they didn't want to do that work at table? They didn't want to do that direct service to the poor? Or because they didn't have the skills to do that direct service to the poor? No. It's because the apostles realized that their most important task was not administration, but rather prayer and study of God's word and of preaching of that word. They said, it's not right for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve at table. So by taking their time to by spending their time doing that supervision, that would have taken time away from being with God in prayer and focusing on what God wanted them to focus on. This is good for us because this has to be at the center of the life of the church's ordained ministers, especially the church's priests and bishops, that even though it's a temptation, I can't think that administration is the most important thing that I do, or that administration is essential to my identity as a priest. A bishop shouldn't think that either. It's not. This reading tells us what's central to our identity, and that's prayer, which means that's our relationship with God. My relationship with God is what's central to my identity as a priest, but also my listening to God's word, my study of God's word, and then my preaching of God's word so that I can share the relationship that I found with God with others. That has to be my focus as a priest and the focus of priests and bishops. So the apostles realized that God wasn't calling them to do that table service. But that didn't mean that God wasn't calling anybody to do that table service. It's not like they said, okay, well, I guess we can't help the widows anymore because it's not going well and we have to pray. So sorry, widows. No, that's not what they said. They discerned that God was calling some men to be doing that work. The apostles said this, select from among you 7 reputable men filled with the spirit and wisdom whom we shall appoint to this task, whereas we shall devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So the apostles realized that they couldn't be the ones to do that work, but that others were called to do it, so they asked the church to choose 7 men who were known to be holy and wise. And then what do they do once they get these 7 men in front of them? They lay hands on them and they pray over them. So what's that? So what's the sacrament that happens when the bishop, and the apostles were the first bishops, when the bishop lays his hands on top of a man, on his head, and prays over a man whom the church has presented to be consecrated in a special way? Well, it's an ordination. It's what's happening in the Acts of the Apostles. And this passage, this is traditionally, we've understood this passage to have to do with the ordination of the first deacons of the church. So I love this passage because it shows us these 3 orders of ordination, these 3 holy orders, we could say, that we still have today: bishops, priests, deacons. And you will hear people, you maybe have, but you will hear people say that all of this stuff in the Catholic Church, all the rituals that we have, the offices that we have, the hierarchy that we have, the hierarchy that we have of bishops, priests, deacons, you'll hear people say, well, that's just made up. Jesus didn't give the church that. That wasn't in the early church. That's absolutely not true. It's right here. It's right here in today's reading. But it's also good for us to see how what God's intention for these roles are. And the intention for deacons, and I was ordained a deacon before I was ordained a priest. That's a requirement. You're ordained a deacon first and then a priest. You have to serve as a deacon for at least 6 months before priestly ordination. We also have permanent deacons in our church. I think we have 20-some in our diocese who are serving in different ways. And that's that, as we see in today's reading, that diaconal ministry is a ministry of service. It's a ministry meant to assist the priests and the bishops and to take on administrative and pastoral roles. And that's exactly what these seven do. There was a problem, so they were ordained to be hands-on on the ground fixing the problem in the service of the priests, so that the priests could be freed to do what God was calling them to do. But what was God calling them to do, the priests and the bishops? Well, it's to be spiritual fathers in the church. And we don't think about this enough. In every day in my role, I'm tempted to think of myself more as an administrator than as a spiritual father, but I have to resist that because I'm spiritual father first. And for someone to be a spiritual father, well, first they have to be spiritual. That means they have to spend time every day with God, a lot of time. Because it's essential for me as a priest, as a spiritual father, that I know that I'm a son first. So I have to spend time with God, my Father, and experience his love for me every day. I have to know that to be my truest identity, who I really am, a son, a beloved son. I have to listen to God's word, and then I have to share God's word in different ways. Some of it is, one way is right now, as I'm preaching this long homily, but I do that in other ways too, just by being with people, ministering with people, hoping that the love of God that he's poured into my hearts is reflected in my ministry to others. That when I go visit the sick and pray with them, when I'm praying at the bedside of someone who's dying, when I'm at the school, when I'm meeting with someone, or at a meeting with my staff, or making administrative decisions, that the reason I can do that is because the love of God the Father has been poured into me as his beloved son. And so now I can share with people that love that God first has given me. So thank God for the church. And thank God that he's called us for some reason to be in the Catholic Church, which has the fullness of the truth. And we have to pray for unity in our Christian churches, that other Christians may come to see that although their own church is good and she teaches good things and has many true aspects, the fullness is here. So let's ask God during this Easter season to pour upon his church a great spirit of gratitude, great love for the church that he's given us, a love for the priesthood. Let's ask God that he'll help us to share what we have received with others.